SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mitch. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there watching us here on Sports Grid and wherever else you are watching around the world. Got a lot to get to on today's show. As always, by my side here every day during the week, 11 to 12 Eastern, I got Davis Maddock to go over everything in fantasy, everything in reality, some pop culture as well. Davis, a great place to start, of course, with the NBA Finals last night. Talked about it here on the show yesterday, and yet again, I think I saw it. I think the stat is 25 straight, maybe even more than that, NBA games have now had the underdogs winning outright or the team that is favored covering. It happened again yesterday with the Golden State Warriors, and now the Celtics are up against it. Do you think they have a shot?
No. I mean, I was betting on the Warriors even when they were down. They were down 2-1. I bet on them. I bet on them after they lost game one. I just and you know what is the absolute insane thing? I think the Celtics might be the better team. I really actually do. I think that, you know, if these teams played 100 times, I think it might be like 55-45 to Boston. But what does Golden State have? The experience, right? And if I had to wager, I would actually probably say the experience in the absolute max high leverage situations matters the most in basketball compared to baseball, football, hockey, soccer, whatever. Probably golf is close because it's just so much doing what you need to do, not being overawed by the moment, getting into your sets, going through your defensive rotations. And, you know, I mean, I think we saw last night, the moment has been pretty big for Boston. And to be completely fair, Jason Tatum just has to be exhausted. I mean, this guy has to be so beat up. The playoffs, Craig, the play-in game was 2 months ago. The play-in was it was in April. We were talking about the play-in games in April. I mean, it is insane how long these NBA playoffs have gone. And they swept the Nets, then they had the seven-game series against the Bucks, seven-game series against the Heat, and the Warriors, you know, pretty much made quick work of everyone other than the Memphis Grizzlies, so they've just got some more rest. And I do love Jason Tatum, St. Louis kid, but we are already starting to hear the excuses about how bad his shoulder has been bothering him in this playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, naturally that's going to happen. But look, Boston's still going to be the same amount of point favorite against Golden State going into tomorrow night's game. I believe 3.5 or 4 will be the line. Davis and I, hopefully we don't have one more game left in the playoffs, but we definitely will have at least one final DFS captain to determine, and that will be tomorrow here on the show. All right, let's get to our headlines. As we mentioned, the Warriors, this is a big commanding 3-2 lead. There's only two games left in the finals, and they have a lead. So even without Steph Curry going off, they still win. Very excited to see if Boston can tie this thing up or if the series is over. We've got some big baseball injuries to get to. Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves fractured his foot on a swing in the sixth inning. Albies, of course, one of the catalysts for the Atlanta Braves and a great fantasy contributor, Davis. Going to be out probably at least a month, if not longer. Alan Lazard of the Packers signed his restricted free agent tender. And he was sitting out due to just basically wanting a new long-term deal, but now it looks like he is back. And then, Davis, I guess I can say that I was one of the few, many, I don't know how you want to put it, that saw Steven Strasburg come back and make one start and no more. But, you know, we kind of illustrated this last week on the show. He had the kind of surgery that the success rate to returning to Major League Baseball, Davis, is very high. Almost all of them come back. I think it's called thoracic outlet, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of the pitchers, they come back from that. They're just not the same. And boy, I think we did fantasy reality. You said Steven Strasburg is going to be making whatever it was and rotting on the Nationals. I think you may be right about that.
Yeah. And look, it stinks. Strasburg, I mean, probably, I don't know, one of my 10 favorite baseball players ever who was not a member of the Kansas City Royals. I mean, he was so electric. You know, of course, everyone remembers that first start against the Pirates, but just, you know, has been a really good pitcher. And if I am recounting his career correctly, I believe that he was one of these guys who got shut down in the playoffs when his team had a chance to win the World Series. So I think that'll kind of always be maybe a little bit of a what if with his career. But it is. I mean, it is a bummer to see. It's just like, I mean, this is true in all sports. When you see great players have their bodies start to fail them, it's just a little bit of a, you know, we all just are kind of, we have to focus on our own mortality. You know, watching Tiger Woods, you know, limp around at the PGA Championship was not very fun. He's not right. even playing at the U.S. Open that is taking place this weekend, which, by the way, I am getting pretty pumped about. I've been seeing, you know, these photos and these videos of the course, and it's always this way at the U.S. Open, but some of these holes are so diabolical, where it's like, if you miss the green, you are, not only are you, you know, rolling off into the fairway, you might be rolling into the water, rolling into some 6-inch deep grass. I mean, it is going to be a real test of golf this week, so really looking forward to the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and Dubs will be on the show to talk more about that. Also, going back to Strasburg, I will tell you, Davis, that yes, part of his legacy is definitely that season where they shut him down before the postseason. But Davis, I got to be fair on this. I mean, he won the World Series for the Nationals in 2019. He was the World Series MVP. While I think the whole story one day will be told, with that being said, I think it kind of gets washed now because of what he did. But no question, off that, getting the mega contract that he did. And at the time when he signed the contract, a lot of people were surprised because he signed a contract before going to free agency, if I'm not mistaken, with the Washington Nationals. People questioned that. Well, now I think you may know the answer. We'll be back with more here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, and guess what? Best Ball Mania is back in a big way on the Underdog app. Of course, fantasy football season is fast approaching. Believe it or not, a month from now, training camps will be open. Davis and I, somewhere around mid-July, are going to be popping into training camps, talking some fantasy football. Still a little bit of time till now, but what a great way, Davis, that you can get involved and everyone else in Underdog's app, and just by logging on, getting a head start in Best Ball. And so we will review that on the show today. What do they have for the latest?
So right now, I mean, the big contest that everyone needs to be entering is Best Ball Mania 3. It is their third edition of their large field tournament. So you draft a 18-man Best Ball roster. You play an individual 12-man leagues. Then your league enters into the playoffs. If you get in the top two spots, there's a playoff round in round 15. Then the field cuts further. Then it cuts further in week 15, week 16, and then we get to the week 17 championship. It's a 480 entry field. $2 million to first place, $1 million to second place, $1 million to the regular season champion as well. And you know, I've been in these streets, very much looking forward to the season starting and all my Best Ball Mania teams.
All right, so let's kind of take an early look at some quarterback battles going into the 2022 NFL season. Some of these will be predetermined, Davis. You know how the NFL works. It's just like any other sport. The coaches like their guy and the competition doesn't really matter. So I'd love your perspective on that as we kind of go through these, as to how you think that some of these are predetermined. Some of them are actually battles. Let's focus on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mitch Trubisky is now sexy again because he hasn't played over the last couple of years from the Chicago Bears. He didn't look very good there. But when you're a backup and you kind of learn a new offense like he did in Buffalo, I suppose there could be an opportunity for him to start there. Pittsburgh did invest a high pick, though, in Kenny Pickett. I don't have a real good feel here, but I suppose the drafters on Underdog have a better one.
Yeah, I mean, both of these guys go very late. The market is kind of throwing up their hands and saying we don't know which one of these guys is going to start, which I think is probably the right way to handle it. For my money, I have been taking Pickett. He is currently the favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's listed at 5-1 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, which I think is sort of in line with what I expect. I mean, we might see Trubisky make 1, 2, 3 starts, you know, something like that. But I sort of wonder if the Steelers actually read the quarterback market wrong in the first round of the NFL draft, where they actually thought that Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, maybe they thought those guys were more desirable than they actually were. So they signed Trubisky to this deal in case they end up not being able to get the guy that they wanted. What ended up happening was they're sitting there at 20. No quarterback is off the board. So whichever quarterback they had graded out as the highest, they could just select. So I think clearly the selection of Pickett says, this was not a guy that fell to them. This was a guy that they wanted. So is Pickett going to be good? You know, I don't really know. He's going to run a little bit, which I think is interesting. And also it's kind of hard to imagine a quarterback in this offense performing worse than Ben Roethlisberger was last year, than Mason Rudolph was when he had to come in last year. I mean, the Steelers really have not had good quarterback play in like 2.5 seasons. So I at least think they should look a little bit more exciting on offense under Pickett. But I think that a good line for Pickett starts is like 10.5 probably. And I think I would lean the over there.
All right. Well, I mean, look, the great thing about best ball is you can get an opportunity right now to join and then sort of dictate maybe what you do come the fall in August or September. And so there are a lot of quarterback situations like this. Another one potentially is the Carolina Panthers. And there's some news on the Panthers today, Davis, which I definitely want you to get to here. But first, let's take a look at the two potential quarterbacks that are on their roster going into the season. One is Sam Darnold, who got off to that wonderful start last year and then just sort of collapsed. We've unfortunately seen this before with Darnold, and they really didn't have any other options. Cam Newton was brought back. And then Matt Corral was drafted, and Corral clearly was a fantastic college quarterback, Davis. We just don't know what he's going to be in the NFL. Lane Kiffin's offense was clearly a very high-level one in the Southeastern Conference, and he did play against really good competition, but where he was drafted may dictate the future, as well as maybe even them not being done with evaluating the position.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of seems like the Carolina Panthers are done having crappy quarterbacks play. I do not think Sam Darnold will play for the Carolina Panthers this year without some sort of emergency situation. Kind of consistently on this show, I've been saying Baker Mayfield is not going to play for the Browns, and he's very likely going to play for someone else. And I think the Browns and the 49ers, by the way, with Jimmy Garoppolo, have very smartly not outright released those guys, but just waited for the right trade to get there. Now, I think the Browns know, Andrew Berry and the Browns front office know they're going to have to eat some money in trading Baker Mayfield, but they're just hoping to not have to eat all of it the way they would have if he was released. Jonathan Jones reported today there is urgency on Carolina's side of the deal to execute a deal for Baker Mayfield so he can get some time in minicamp with the Panthers. For the Browns, it's the best offer they have. And I think that's true. If you look around the NFL, you know, teams who would be willing to eat some of Baker's salary, I think it's pretty much Carolina and Seattle. And then I do think for the Jimmy G, for Baker Mayfield, for, you know, Tyrod Taylor, guys like that, like, I do think the Buccaneers probably are one of those teams because they just need – they don't have a backup quarterback situation at all. I believe Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask are the primary backup quarterbacks there. So, in other words, they don't really have a backup quarterback were Brady to miss any time. So I think that's a little bit interesting. But as of right now – given these reports this morning, I'm saying Baker Mayfield probably starts the most games at quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. I have drafted Corral a little bit simply because he is so cheap. I mean, you can just take him with the last pick of your draft. He's going to run a little bit. He was a decent runner at Ole Miss.
All right. And then finally, I mean, a competition that I would say, Davis, maybe of all of the ones in the NFL that I would ask you, does this even matter? Atlanta Falcons. Marcus Mariota, you know, probably going to end up starting the season, I would guess, for them at quarterback. Desmond Ridder, who they drafted from Cincinnati, had his ups, had his downs, actually pretty good 2 years ago, okay last year. But, you know, Davis, the way I sort of evaluate the situation is, I mean, Atlanta's kind of, are they going into the season as the worst team in the NFL? I mean, it does appear to be close to that. And if that's the case, outside of a super flex, even in a best ball, like I would love an explanation where you think like the value would come here.
Well, both of these guys run a little bit, and running is, I mean, it's a cheat code at quarterback, right? Like adding 30 rushing yards a game brings you from being, you know, a non-starter to a guy who is in the weekly top 15 conversation. And I think you can talk yourself into, look, you know, they got Kyle Pitts, they have Drake London, Cordarrelle Patterson. Those guys are all, I mean, Kyle Pitts is insanely good. Drake London, you know, a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. Cordarrelle Patterson had this incredible season last year. So I think you could talk yourselves into the Falcons being a little bit frisky. You really have to squint to see it. For my money, I mean, Ridder was not a scrambler at Cincinnati, which I think is fairly interesting because he did run that 4.5 40. I'm not taking Mariota at all because I think you're right. I think he starts the season but doesn't finish it. So I'll throw a couple darts here and there on Ridder, but this is a situation that I'm mostly ignoring.
Yeah, and look, the Falcons defensively are not very good. I actually thought in the first half of last year they played relatively well, and, you know, I don't know. It feels like they took a look at things after the season and said, you know, let's rip the Band-Aid off. And at least that's the way that I look at it going into this season. And then Atlanta will have, I think, number one and number two pick of next year's NFL draft. At least that's my opinion. All right, coming up next, we'll talk some baseball. We got some evening baseball to get to, full slate in Major League Baseball. Also, fantasy or reality and the Sports Grid 60. So as you continue your Tuesday afternoon, stick with us here on Sports Grid as the early line is coming up at 12 o'clock Eastern. And then I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. Avis and I will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Davis, last night, the Atlanta Braves continue their winning. I believe they won their 12th straight game, but they lost Ozzie Albies. So from a DFS perspective, you know, that's kind of thinning the options there at second base. You know, you go back 5-10 years ago, Davis, you know, we had a lot of good second base options in fantasy baseball. But boy, these days, that position in particular has become really hard to fill on a nightly basis. It feels like a lot of dart throwing there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not really that good of a position. Like, looking at the names kind of on a daily basis, the most expensive second baseman. Now Altuve is, he's doing his thing, right? I mean, he's having a pretty good season, right? 12 home runs, going to hit 300 or at least close to it. He's stolen a couple bases. But then, you know, we're talking about Tommy Edman. You know, he was, what, like a ninth round pick? Jake Cronenworth, I guess your boy Jazz, right? Assuming that Jazz doesn't just get cut for being a jerk, we got to feel pretty good about him. And then Trevor Story, right? I guess Trevor Story would kind of be the other guy. Max Muncy is back off the IL, but you're right. I mean, it's kind of like shortstop, outfield, and first base are the super premium positions now. It's the you know, kind of the years of, like, you know, Robinson Cano is an MVP candidate, second base. We don't really have that anymore.
Yeah, Jazz will not be cut. I will promise you this right now. Story I'll leave out for this show. All right, let's take a look at starting pitchers tonight on the evening slate. By the way, doubleheader today, Cardinals and Pirates are going to go at it, and those games start in just a little bit. All right, Sean Manaea is Davis's guy tonight on the mound. He is 8,500 for the Padres. The White Sox, my goodness, what has gone on with them this season? Their playoff odds are, like, Davis, on Fangraphs, are just dropping and dropping every day. Dylan Cease, though, has been fantastic. He is 8,800. Kopech got hurt the other night, too. So what's the thinking behind these two tonight?
Well, by the way, as it pertains to the White Sox, you know who is absolutely sitting there, you know, in the bleachers cheering on the White Sox downfall? It's the Los Angeles Angels. If the White Sox were hitting their preseason projection win total, the Angels would have to feel super bad about, you know, about that loss streak that they went on. But because the White Sox are not running away with that division. They're sitting there and they're like, we can overtake the Guardians. We can overtake the White Sox, you know, no problem. So that's pretty strong for them. Our guy Dylan Cease, I mean, he almost feels like a free square at this price, $8,800. He gets to go up against Detroit. His last start out, you know, we just talked about who is the best team in baseball. I said it was the Dodgers. And he got through a pretty good start against the Dodgers. You know, didn't go super deep, but was able to get 8 strikeouts. He's been really good at getting ground balls, not really been allowing very many fly balls. If you are going to get dinged up against the Tigers, it is probably going to be with fly balls because they have a bunch of guys on that roster who totally sell out for the home runs, right? You know, Javi Baez, Candelario, a lot of these guys are extreme fly ball hitters. And then it feels like just a wonky night with the DraftKings pricing algorithm because we have Sean Manaea who's going up in a non-win game at Wrigley. And this guy has been unbelievable this season. Mm-hmm. He's been super consistent for the Padres, kind of making up for, you know, how, Darvish was really good last night, but it's not been great this season. You know, Manaea sitting there with a whip just above 1, an ERA right at 3.5. Like, he's been super good. So I feel really good about these two starting pitchers tonight, not feeling the need to, you know, get up to Gerrit Cole, not really wanting to mess with Tony Gonsolin. Shane Bieber is pitching in Coors Field, and he had his best start of the season in his last start, but not messing with him in Coors.
All right, fair enough. It's a Coors slate, so naturally we're going to be hitting on some players there for sure. Let's take a look at the position players Davis has. By the way, these are DraftKings prices. Luke Maley, a catcher, he is $3,500 tonight. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays, he is $5,400. Speaking of second base, Guardians basically just picking guys out of a hat, playing well this year. The next one this year is Owen Miller. He is $4,300, having a good season for them. Ryan McMahon of the Rockies, been a little up and down. He is $3,900. And then on the cheap side for Jorge Mateo at shortstop for Davis, who clearly is rooting for a steal tonight or two. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah, I mean, Jorge Mateo, I actually think the Orioles are kind of doing him a disservice. And the guy cannot get on base, absolutely cannot get on base, doesn't take a walk, does not make a ton of contact, but he has 4 home runs and 15 steals this year. He's kind of, I mean, how different is Jorge Mateo from Javi Baez at this point in their careers, right? I mean, I guess the difference is, yeah, well, hey, but they're still good for fantasy, though, if you build your team. Well, Baez stinks. But if you took Jorge Mateo with like your 23rd round pick or whatever, I mean, Craig, you're just counting your money right now on Jorge Mateo. 15 steals, he's already paid off. He could you know, go on the 60-day IL tomorrow and he would be fine for you. So Mateo is just in general kind of when I'm looking for some of these cheap roster fillers. I greatly prefer guys like this who have some events upside to like your Owen Gonzalez's or your Tyler Friedel's who like maybe will lead off or get a good batting order spot for their teams, but they have no power, no speed. You know, they are just there to try and get you, you know, one double with an RBI basically. And then predictably, I think the Coors game is really strong tonight, but I also think there's kind of this interesting element where I don't think it should be too chalky tonight, especially on the Colorado side. So we have Ryan McMahon in here. We'll talk about Connor Joe a little bit later. But I don't think people are really going to want to attack Shane Bieber. But my guess is Bieber struggles with velocity. I mean, he's barely getting over 90 miles an hour with his fastball. My guess is that the change in altitude that messes with every starting pitcher is really going to mess with him. Because if he's not able to get the movement that he needs at the altitude, I think he might get beat up a little bit. So I like Owen Miller. I like McMahon on the other side of that game. Love Vlad tonight. Love the Blue Jays who are going up against Jordan Lyles. Feels like the Blue Jays might be the team tonight. You know, that hits 4 home runs, 10 runs. They're finally starting to wake up as a team. It's taken long enough. Like we've been waiting for it. We've really been waiting for it, and it feels like it's finally happening. And then we have Luke Mayo in Colorado going up against Senzatella, who is, as I always say on this show, he's like the worst starting pitcher in baseball, and he pitches in Coors.
Yeah, the last time I saw him pitch, it was not good at all. So definitely think you're right there. You know, Tigers are under a lot of pressure right now, Davis. They thought that they would turn a little bit of a corner this year. I'm not all Baez's fault, of course not. But, I mean, for the contract he was given, and the finish that he had with the Mets last year, you would have expected at least something. And he's given them nothing.
He stinks. As far as he stinks. Yeah,
this year has been at the bottom. All right, now here's a good selection for you guys. If you've never heard of Connor Joe in the outfield, he leads off a lot for the Rockies. So this is a good price here at 4,200. Miles Straw is also 4,200 for the Guardians. And Nelson Cruz is an interesting one, Davis, for me at 4,200. I mean, Washington is just not very good, but Soto got hurt last night. So Cruz is going to have the best batting spot, I think, in their order. And Davis, he probably has about a month to sort of get it going so he can get out of there and find a new destination. So maybe tonight's a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know at this point. Like, I don't really think Nelson Cruz is that. He's probably like not that desirable to a lot of these teams because he has really, really, really slowed down against right-handed pitching. You know, he is striking out more. He is getting on base less. His slugging is down. He's grounding into double plays against right-handed pitching, which was kind of what we expected for him. You know, I mean, the guy is 42 years old, so he's not quite. He turns 42 next week, so I gotta give him his due. He's still 41 for another week, but he is as good as ever against left-handed starting pitching, batting over 300 against lefties, getting on base over 40% of the time against lefties, slugging against lefties. Who does he face tonight? Max Fried, left-handed starting pitcher. His price is low because Fried has been quite good this year. But I just, again, talking about, you know, these one-off guys that we like a little bit cheaper prices. Nelson Cruz, he's probably not getting you five. He's either getting you zero or 14, right? Because he's either not going to get a hit against Fried or he is going to hit a home run. Straw is going to be super popular tonight at 4,200 leading off in Coors Field against Senzatella. So some of the alternative options you could use if you don't want to go all the way there. Marcelo Zuna should get a bump in the batting order tonight against Yastrzemski with Ozzy Albies out. I like him. And then Connor Joe, this has got to be one of the studs of the fantasy season. I guess his counting numbers have not been that great. 5 home runs and 3 steals, but he is hitting just a shade over 260. He's walking a ton. He's walking almost 13% of the time and not striking out a ton either. So I think his numbers will actually probably get a little bit better as the season wears on. And by the way, it's getting hot. It's getting hot in Colorado. Like, I think we're going to start to see some of these, you know, crazy football score games in Colorado. You know, your classic 17-13 Colorado Rockies game that takes about 4.5 hours to play. Maybe not that fun to watch, but definitely good for fantasy baseball.
Yeah, you know, and going back to Cruz, you know, it's interesting when we were talking about this, right? When he signed with Washington, you and I were both like, why? You know, like, what? I mean, this is like a potential Hall of Famer at the end of his career. What is he doing here? And really, it's unusual that we, as you know, people who cover it, can look and say, "Wow, like we were right." Like both of us, like what in the world was he thinking there? You know, maybe someone suggested to me, Davis, maybe he thought that Washington was going to do more than what they did,
right?
But he picked the wrong spot, man, across the board. I'm a huge fan of this player. I think he's just got to get out of there. And go and you're right, value wise, you're right. What are they going to get for him? They probably just have to set him free. It's kind of a shame. All right, fantasy reality coming up next, and then the Sports Grid 60 as we take you up until the top of the hour. So stick with us. We got some fun questions to go over next, as Davis and I are back in just a couple of minutes right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We've got fantasy or reality for you coming up. We touch on sports. We touch on a little pop culture. And also would invite you to ask us for questions that we could use here on the show. So follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV and tag us with your question for fantasy or reality. If you have anything you'd like to see Davis or I tackle on the show, just mention it and tag us at SportsGrid at Sports Grid TV. You can follow Davis on Twitter at Davis Matic. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish. We do have some breaking news, some pop culture breaking news, Davis. I have no idea of this group, who they are, what they sing, or what they do. But if our producer, Brett Levy, tells us we got to mention it on the show, you know we got to do it. So what is this? BTS? I've never even heard of this group. I don't even know what they sing. But apparently they're breaking up. What does that mean for the world of entertainment?
So I don't know a ton. I don't know a ton about this stuff, but there is this variety of music called K-pop, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It is South Korean pop music, and it's kind of similar to how like the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and everything worked. It's like these very meticulously produced via the record labels. You know, they find these kids, these boys, these girls. Like I believe it is. I believe there are both genders of them, and BTS is like the biggest one, right? So this is like mm-hmm. this is like NSYNC and like whatever it was, you know, 1998 yeah. or whatever, breaking up, and it is super popular, you know, not just in Korea but with Westerners as well. So sad day, I suppose. Never listened to it. Don't know the words. Not my realm of culture, but I'm at least vaguely aware of what this is.
Well, maybe Brett can answer that question for us after the show. All right, time for a little fantasy or reality. All right, Davis, let's start with a little hit piece. There was one recently on the head coach at Arizona State University, Herm Edwards, of course, former coach in the NFL. And boy, how his star has fallen. Remember when he first went over to Arizona State, and I believe he had Lovie Smith on his staff, and Arizona State looked really good in the Pac-12, you know, almost getting into, I think, the college football playoff, played in a pretty big bowl game. But now, in a recent column, some pretty, you know, unflattering quotes about his team and the way he's coaching. And I think one of the quotes, I believe, said it is a dumpster fire for Herm Edwards. Wow, that is not the best. So fantasy or reality, Davis, Herm Edwards will survive this season at Arizona State. Pac-12 coaches come and go pretty quickly. Is he the next one? All right, we'll get back to Davis in just a second here, but you know, I'll start here with the fantasy or reality. In my opinion right now, Herm Edwards, first of all, I like him as an announcer. I thought he was a pretty good coach in the NFL, but obviously what has gone wrong for him in Arizona State is not going to allow him to stay the entire season. We've seen coaches, this happen before, guys go from the NFL, they go to college, they think it's the same thing. And whatever success that he had in his first year, of course, in Arizona State, is not really carrying itself, I think, to the future. So, Davis, I will start off here. I will say he will not survive the season. I do think he'll survive the start of it, but you're giving me a pretty open window here after 8 to 10 games. I'm going to say he gets let go.
So I have their schedule pulled up here, and I thought, well, you know, maybe if they have a really soft schedule to start, you know, maybe he builds up some goodwill with the folks, and they have a very easy cupcake game as their first game. They play Northern Arizona. I believe that is an FCS school, but then they go play at Oklahoma State. That's a loss, right? And that, not only is that a loss, that is probably going to be a butt kicking, right? Because Oklahoma State is pretty good. They just are going to have a better caliber of athlete. Then they get a home game against Eastern Michigan. They probably win that, but this is where the losses start coming in. They play home to Utah, and then they play at USC. And if Herm Edwards is, you know, kind of losing the locker room, and the discussion is already starting, and they get blown out, you know, where the walk-ons are in the third quarter against USC, that's got to be it. And then, because if he makes it to the end, they end the season Washington State, Oregon State, Arizona. So mm-hmm. I mean, those are all going to be roughly winnable games, but I'm looking at that USC game where if it's just a huge blowout, he's going to be gone. So I got fantasy here. He's not making it through the season.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and I don't like to fire coaches, but I mean, boy, when somebody puts a hit piece out on you, it means that there's a lot of people that feel the same way, at least in my opinion. All right, Twitter is a funny place. Boy, have I learned that over the last week or so. A.J. Brown, a former member of the Tennessee Titans, now wide receiver with the Philadelphia Eagles, taking some clap back for some fans on social media and, of course, some polling questions. No longer a member of the Tennessee Titans. And basically his, you know, I guess, Davis, he kind of feels like he's the best wide receiver in the history of the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, there's a lot of other choices. One of the other names that was brought up in the conversation was Derek Mason, who I thought was also fantastic. So pretty fair debate here because Brown, let's be honest, did not live to his full potential with the Titans. I think that's fair to say. But in terms of talent, probably was. Fantasy or reality, Davis, A.J. Brown is the best Titans wide receiver ever.
I mean, unless you like, so we're getting into a gray area here because obviously, you know, based on like record, his three seasons with the Titan, he's not. So then we're making it a conversation of, is he the most talented guy to ever play for the Titans? And people forget this, but do you know who was a member of the Tennessee Titans for, I believe, four games in the last season of his career? Randy Moss, right? Yeah, so right, if you include the fact that Randy Moss put on the Titans jersey, and we're not making this about career records or whatever, then no, I mean, it's clearly fantasy because Randy Moss is the best wide receiver ever, and right, he played for the Tennessee Titans. And now in terms of like a guy who was actually kind of at their peak in the Titans jersey and on the field, yeah, I got clear reality here because the other guys are, I mean, we got to go back to the 80s, Ernest Givens, Frank Wycheck, who I guess was a tight end, but he's third all time on the Titans in receiving, Derek Mason, you know, but then the poor Titans, they really have not had very many good wide receivers. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Kendall Wright, Drew Bennett, you know, this is the funniest thing to me. Eddie George and Chris Johnson are both top 10 in receiving yards all time for the Titans. That's how bad their wide receivers have been, that two of their running backs are up there. So I got reality here unless we are including Randy Moss.
Yeah, the thing is that, first of all, I'm not going to include Houston Oilers because then there's no question that he's not. But I also am going to say Derek Mason was the best Titans wide receiver ever. I know that Mason didn't play his entire career with the Titans, but I think he played longer, is a guess. And I would say that he probably had more yards than A.J. Brown too. So I'm going to say Derek Mason with, I think Derek Mason was just the coach, if I'm not mistaken, in the SEC at Vanderbilt and was let go, if I'm not mistaken. But I like Derek Mason. He was a friend to me in fantasy, PPR guy. Good job, Derek Mason. All right. Lady Gaga's in the news. Looks like there's going to be a new Joker movie, but this time it's like sort of like a musical, Davis. I don't even know what to make of this, but Lady Gaga is in it, and Joker, whatever the Joker ends up being, Davis, you know, is wildly popular. Whoever plays the Joker ends up getting nominated for Academy Award, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, the list goes on and on. Fantasy or reality, the Joker, a musical, is a good idea. And obviously, if Lady Gaga is in it, I mean, it's a hard question to answer because does she do anything that isn't good? Like, not really.
Not a good idea for me. I'm pretty burnt out on Joker stories. That's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed the most recent Robert Pattinson Batman. Was the Joker was not the primary villain. The Riddler was the villain, and they also, I think very wise. I forget the name of the director, but he very wisely kind of alluded to the Joker being in Arkham next to the Riddler, but didn't show him on screen. And I think that was an intelligent decision. Like, one thing I sort of hate about Disney just owning everything, right, is that we just get a lot of the same regurgitated stories. Like in Star Wars right now, we're just on Tatooine in every freaking show. We got Mando on Tatooine. We got Boba on Tatooine. We got Obi-Wan on Tatooine. It's all Tatooine. It's like, I wish that, these and you'll never get this because the big mega multinational trillion-dollar corporations, they have no interest in taking risks. They want to make their movie, make their money, get it done with, right? Lady Gaga in a Joker, I mean, that is, what's that going to do? You know, $500 million, you know, open, like, it's just going to crush. Everyone will watch that. It won't be a great work of art, but it'll be fine. I think this is a bad idea, and I wish that less stuff like this would get made, but, you know, I'm just an old man yelling at a cloud.
I thought I was the old man. I'll say reality. I'll say it's a good idea because if she's in it, that's my go-to. Because Lady Gaga, in general, you would assume is not going to do something that's going to be a flop. Unless you can tell me. I mean, I'm sure that there have been some things that she has done that have not been good. But I kind of put her at a level to where, okay, if she's in it, can it really be bad? Tom Hanks, if he's in it, can it really be bad? You know, like, that's my go-to there. So I'm gonna say it is a good idea. I'm gonna go against it. I'm gonna say it is, and I'm gonna say it ends up being at least mildly successful. By the way, going to your last comment, I know that there probably are some people who are Star Wars fans. So if that's the case, and what you're saying is accurate, because a lot of these spinoffs are coming from the same spot in the Star Wars universe. So what is left? What is left that they have not done? Because if you're alluding to that, you gotta feel like something's not being done, right?
I mean, we have no live action Clone Wars, right? We have in between episode 2 and episode 3, we got nothing. We like the Kenobi show could have been Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, you know, kicking some butt, right? With live action Ahsoka that we got from the cartoons. Like they're right. So and how about 100 years before, 200 years before the prequels, right? Like, how did we get here? How did the Jedi become, how did they develop this close relationship with the government, right? You're supposed to be this kind of monastical religious order. I mean, there's so many things that they could do, and they're sticking so closely and tightly to the original timeline. I mean, and for fans of the books, and I know this is real nerdy stuff, but there's this character in the books called Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is basically the best Star Wars character ever. I think he's even better than Vader. It's the best. And I would love the next time they do a Star Wars trilogy movie series, I would love for him. But the big thing with Tatooine is Luke says, if there's a center of the universe, you're about the furthest from it. But what planet do we see the most in Star Wars? Tatooine. So that's my issue.
Yeah, the latest rumors, I don't know if they're true or not, but that eventually something's coming with Yoda, Davis. I don't know like, if that's accurate or not, but some big, you know, surrounding story surrounding Yoda. A lot of people may not know who Yoda is, so if this is flying over your head, I'm sorry. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60, so stay on the grid for that. As a reminder, I'll be back with you at 2:00 Eastern today as we recap the NBA, look forward to the NHL. Daniel Wallach from Wallach Legal will be on the show as well. So hopefully you can catch us after your lunch break. So we'll be right back with more fantasy sports today here on Sports Grid, Sports Grid 60.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. As always, we end the show with a final comment from Davis and I. And it's Davis's turn to get started. And here is today's Sports Grid 60.
So, Craig, as you know, it is training camp season. Well, I guess mini camp season. It's alive and well. And this is one thing that I want coaches held accountable for. What do we hear every offseason when a team has two good running backs? Oh, well, they're going to be on the field at the same time. One of them's going to play in the slot, right? Tony Pollard going to play on the slot. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb going to be on the field at the same time. Alexander Mattison, Dalvin Cook, same time. Saquon Barkley is going to line up as a wide receiver. Miles Sanders going to line up as a wide receiver. Those are just all the ones that have been reported this offseason. It never happens. These guys max are playing like 50 snaps as a wide receiver over the course of the season. And even that is really unlikely. So I'm begging you, Craig, you know, tell your beat writer friends, either say, don't report it, or we got to hold these coaches accountable for lying, because I cannot hear another preseason fluff piece about how Tony Pollard is going to be a slot wide receiver.
Oh, Davis, you know it's coming. People need something to click. Been doing that for many, many years. Speaking of which, you know, it's kind of an interesting conversation that we've had here on Fantasy Sports Today is, when do we, you know, start going 24/7 fantasy football? I've been in this industry of broadcast media and fantasy sports for over 20 years. And there's always that dynamic. For those of you who are watching the show, some of you are probably wondering, when is the fantasy football discussion going to start? Others are wondering why we're doing any fantasy football. Like that dynamic that we have to figure out here on the show. But I assure you of one thing. NBA season's coming to an end. NHL season's coming to an end. Major League Baseball All-Star break is on the way. Once those are over, it's fantasy football time here on Sports Grid, no doubt. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to everybody watching, and of course to everyone at LTN, and for our producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, Davis Maddock, as well as our graphics department, Danny and Ryan, doing a great job. I'm Craig Mish. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you at 2 o'clock Eastern.